ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Respected sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an easy deed to follow, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is our creator, He is our nourisher, He is our provider, He is our maker, and He knows us best. If we look at the inventions which man has made, whatever invention it is, that the inventor, man, he knows about his invention. A simple thing like a watch or a clock, man who has invented it, he knows that this watch here or this clock, what it can do, what it cannot do. He knows in simple language what makes that watch or clock tick. He knows what is good for that watch. He knows what is bad for that watch. Then he has made a watch, nowadays waterproof. Now we have got a watch, the person in the ocean or divers, they use that watch. So he has made a watch and he knows what is good for that watch. Every invention, for example, every appliance in your home, especially in the kitchen, you also know that this is a toaster, I cannot roast meat on it. And this is an oven, I will have to utilize it after some knowledge, learning about it. Then I know I can make a cake here, I have to know the temperatures. Then on the normal stove in your home, you don't go and say, I'm having a bride, and then start drying meat on the normal stove. So every appliance in the house has got a set features, and it is used for a particular purpose. And who knows about this purpose is man. Because man has made the toaster, that fridge, that refrigerator, and he knows the stove, knows the heater, etc. And each appliance has got certain functions, and each appliance has got certain limitations, and each appliance has got certain rules to apply by. You will have an appliance that you can use by the electricity, you've got an appliance that you can use with the electricity and without the electricity. Similarly, when a person designs a car, then basically we get two types of cars. One car that a person designs is for our local roads. The car is designed for a set purpose. So the person who was designing the car had an object in mind, that this car here is going to go on the road. Then we have what we call rally car or a racing car. When the man was designing the car, he had that this car is going to go for rally purposes, or this car is going for racing purposes. Now if one person decides to take the car of the racing track and use it on the local road, then we will say this person, he has done something wrong. And if one person says, no, I'm going to take my car that I drive on the local road, I'm going to take it on the racing track, Then you say, no, this person here is not feeling well. And in Arabic, the definition of zulm, oppression, zulm is translated wrongly as oppression or suppression. But the technical translation of zulm is wazn shay fi ghairi mahalli, meaning that you take something and you misplace it or displace it, or simply a simple language, you wrongly place it. Like you took the normal car and you put it on the racing track, then you are making zulm on the car because the car is not for that. And if you take the racing car and put it on the normal track, you're making zulm on that car because that car is not supposed to be there. Another example, so that we understand, and once we understand this concept of zulm properly, then inshallah we can go on to explain the role of Muslim women. If a person is using spectacles, now he takes out the spectacles and instead of putting it in front of the eye, he puts it on the knee. Now this is zulm, and this is taking the object and putting it in the wrong place. So what are you making zulm? You're making zulm firstly of the eye. You're depriving the eyesight of the spectacle. Number two, you're taking the spectacle and putting it on the knee is not supposed to have the spectacle. Number three, the correct usage of the spectacle you have destroyed by putting it in the wrong place. Now, respected brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, Allah is the provider, Allah is the darisha. Allah has created every creation for a set purpose. Allah has created man for a set purpose. Allah has created the female for a set purpose. But if we take what Allah has created man for and tell him that you must go do what the females are doing, that this is zulm. And if we tell the female that you go and do what the men are doing, that is zulm. Because as I told you, zulm is oppression. Hazrat Luqman alayhi salam, when he was talking to his son, he addressed him and told him, Ya Bunayya, inna shirka la zulmun azim. Oh my beloved son, you must know that shirk, ascribing partners to Allah, that's a great oppression, a great misplacement. Why? Because you're not supposed to ascribe partners to Allah. That is the greatest misplacement, displacement, wrong usage, saying that Allah is not one, but Allah is your partner. Respected sisters, now when we look, as we look at the biological composition of man and woman, then we easily realize that man is made differently and female made differently. Males are made differently, female differently. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created man and woman, insan, human beings. And amongst the human beings, we have Muslims and those who have not believed. And Muslim is one who has submitted to the law of Allah and the law of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the one who has got discipline. He has got a set of laws to follow, a set of rules to follow. Now the Muslim male will have some laws to follow, and the Muslim female will have some laws to follow. And when we analyze carefully, the Muslim male biologically is different, female biologically different. Simple, respected sisters, you do understand that females, they become pregnant, babies are born from them. This does not happen by males, but that's the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The females give birth to children. Males do not give birth to children. Females undergo menstruation periods monthly. Males do not do that. Females go under nifas post-delivery blood, not males. So, just looking at the structure of man and female, we realize that man is different, female is different. Male is different, female is different. Now when say male is different, that means the male has got a different set of responsibilities also. The female is different, therefore the female must have a different set of responsibilities. Taking it easily and taking it from the start, first Nabi of Allah Ta'ala was Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Last Nabi of Allah, Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down plus minus 124,000 Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. But all the Nabis of Allah, all the Prophets of Allah, all the Rasuls of Allah were made. Now Allah is the creator, Allah is the provider, and Allah has made all the Nabi's males. Why? Because the responsibility is mercy, he don't want to put the female into that difficulty. And the male, because his shoulders are broad, that's why he put Nabuwat on the shoulders of the male and Risalat on the shoulders of the male, not on the shoulders of the female. And the Nabi is the one who has to go out and woe with those who do not see to the law of Allah. So, Allah is the provider and Allah is the maker. Therefore, He is given different responsibility. Yes, sainthood. A sainthood or a sahabi, they can be male, female. Saint can be male, female. Secondly, for example, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the responsibility of calling the azan to the male. But can you imagine in a locality if they decide, no, we must have males equal to females, and there should be equality. Why? Because now what is happening in the Western world, oh, the male must be equal to the female. And the male must go to military, female must go to military. The male must go out to work and the female also must go out to work. And the male must run around doing the hard, laborious work, female also must go do the hard, laborious work. So if they say no, some lady says no, we must have equality, then the male is giving azad, the female must give azad too. So can you imagine the chaos that now what female is going to give azad? And to make it vivid in your mind, can you imagine if you go to Masjid al-Haram, Medina, or Masjid al-Haram in Makkah, and what female is given azan? How is it going to happen to us? That the female now is going to give azan. Sharia has said no, that the role of the male is different, the male must give the azan. Female, she must listen to the azan and perform a salat, and she must understand the laws of the Salat, etc. Going one step ahead, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made congregational Salat wajib for the male, not for the female. And He has made the imamah and khilafah for the male. Can you imagine now in your local masjid that one apa is the imam of the masjid? I think maybe everybody will come to the masjid after that. To see the apa, not to see the masjid or for congregational salat, the masjid will be full to see the imam. or shall we say the female riba. And can you imagine now, to bring it closer to your mind, that in the haram now you're standing there, you've got female riba. No more Sudaisi or Huzaifi, you've got what Abba there is, haram riba. In Medina or haram riba in Makkah. So Allah has created the male for different responsibilities, and Allah has created the female for different responsibilities. So the imamah of the salah is only for the male. Now, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala the first khalif. Hazrat Umar second khalif. Hazrat Usman third khalif. Hazrat Ali fourth khalif. Hazrat Hassan fifth khalif. Hazrat Muawiyah sixth khalif. Now, respected sisters and brothers, with due respect, that can you imagine if Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away and some female became khalifa? And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Umm Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, they did not say, no way it is recorded in history that any female said, I want to become Khalifa. Because they understood their role, that this is not there. No Sahabiya said, listen, I want to become the Imam in Masjid al-Nabawi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No Sahabiya said, I want to go out in jihad. So, Nabuwa for the male, Risalat for the male, Imamat for the male, Azad for the male, Khilafat for the male. But this does not mean a jihad for the male. This does not mean that the females are deprived. In fact, it is easy. Why? Because these are responsibilities congregational in nature. Like the Amir of Hajj. First Amir of Hajj, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. And subsequently Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter the Khulafa Rashidin, etc. No female has become Amir of Hajj. Why? Because Allah has created the male. Allah understands the male. We have given certain responsibilities. Allah has created the female, Allah has understood the female is the creator, He has given the certain responsibility. Now if we would say, no, the female must start going for jihad, the female must give azad, the female must leave the salat, the female is the amirul mu'minin, and the khilafat, all those, that means we are going to give responsibility to the female, whereas Allah does not want to give them responsibility. Allah wants to make the life of the female easy. Allah wants to make the life of the female comfortable. Allah wants to make the life of the female with less responsibility. Why? Because the female has got greater responsibility in the house, not outside the house. The female has got responsibility to bring up the children, to nurture the children, to teach the children, to educate the children. So that one scholar, how he said, what is this civilization and what is this culture of the age that is trying to promote and say that the woman must be free? Because you see, everyone wants freedom. They say, no, the woman must be free to choose her career. The woman must be free to choose her ambition. The woman must be free. Like how the men are able to come out, the woman also must come out. So the woman, when some guests come to her house, and if she has to feed them, then Western psychology is saying that, listen, how can the woman do such an activity? That she must only feed the bear, her husband's guest. And she is oppressed. If she feeds the husband's guest, she's oppressed. If she feeds the husband's guest, she's suppressed. And if she feeds the husband's guest, then look at the husband, how unreasonable he is. He's bringing guests to the house, and the female has to cook. And the female has to prepare the food. And the female has to do this and this. On the other hand, the same person who says there must be freedom, when the lady becomes the air hostess, then she has to supply food to 200 passengers That is freedom. That is freedom now. To smile at every stranger, and to be touched by every stranger practically, and to listen to every stranger's nonsense, and to give them food, and to serve alcohol to them, and to serve them, and to serve 200, that is civilization. That is culture. And that is freedom. And whereas Islam is saying, no, that is not your job. That is not your responsibility. That is not becoming of you, that you must go do such an activity to lower your status, and to lower your position, and to lower your dignity, and to lower your honor. Your honor lies that you must do what Allah and Rasulullah has said. Come back to this, that Allah is the creator, Allah has made the man with certain responsibility, and the female with certain responsibility. Now what has happened, respected sisters, that the man has become oppressive. How he has become oppressive? That he wants his female, he wants his wife, or he wants his daughter to do certain activities. So what he does? That the wife must get up and prepare the breakfast for the children. Now she is a cook. Then she must drive the children to the school. Now she is driver. You understand? She was cook, now she is driver. Then she must make breakfast again for the husband who missed his Fajr Salat and got up now at 8, 9 o'clock. Then she's cook again. Then the husband goes around to work, sitting in air conditioned office. The wife, she also now must go to work. She must go and say hello, good morning, thank you, dress up for the world, dress up for the strangers, smile to the strangers, talk to the strangers, behave oh so nicely to the strangers, to sell the product as the commodity of the husband. Now she sales lady. She sales lady now. What a responsible position now. And she is getting salary now. And in certain areas, what she has to do, she must take transport. She must sit in the vehicles of public transport with the strangers. And she must dress up now for the boss, and she must dress up for this to be so-called attractive, so that the merchandise can be sold. Then she must come back and pick up the children, become driver again, and take them back to the house. Then she must cook the lunch for the children. She cook again. Then she must wait for the husband to come. If she is not going back to the shop and slave and slaughter, then she must come back to the house. Husband comes back, takes out his shoes, he starts swearing, and he wants his supper. So she is cook again. And in the evening, she must satisfy the husband's desire. Now look at how much responsibility this Western world has put upon the lady. All in the name of freedom. All in the name of liberalization. All in the name that, see, women are equal to men. Women, they are very equal to men, and women also got the right to earn. And the women have got the right to live, and the women have got the right to woman, and the women, they must slog like the man, and they must labor like the man. Whereas Islam is saying very simple, that the woman has got the right to earn, yes, but she has to be silent financial partner. And she must not be a slave in the house. She, her role is in the house. Her role is one portfolio that keeps the children happy and the husband happy. And feed the husband and also satisfy his needs in the permissible ways. This is only simple thing Islam wants from the lady, Islam wants from the female, that when she goes out of a house, she dresses decently, she dresses properly, she dresses nicely. And not in this age, unfortunately, in this age, a lot of ladies now wear abayas, and they wear abayas of the fashion of the age. And these abayas have got these latest makes and etc. It is not proper for them to do so. The abaya that they wear, it must not be attractive. The whole idea of coming out of the lady from the house, she must come out in such a dress that it must not be revealing. It must not be attractive. Now to wear the so-called modern day brands, the fashions, that will make the abaya fashionable. Whereas Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that if you follow the fashion of the day, that Allah Ta'ala will dress you out in the day of the day of judgment with the dress of disgrace. Simple, straightforward, that a lady was dressed decently, properly, but not to ape the fashion of the day. That instead of when the lady passes by, the whole idea is that she will be able to pass in safety and security in peace. Not that she must be so decorated that when she goes by, then everybody starts looking at her. Then it defeats the aim of the parda, it defeats the aim of the hijab. And respected sisters, that those of you who are dressing immodestly should now make up your mind and dress modestly. And those of you who are dressing in clothes, you should dress up in loose clothes. And those who are dressing in cloaks and scarves should now adorn burqa. And those that are adorning the cloaks and the burqa should now go ahead and start covering their faces. Should be all the time progressive, going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, going towards the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, respected sisters, what we have outlined is very simple. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sharia does not want to put the lady into difficulty. Otherwise, we should also be saying that the men must go in jihad and the female must go in jihad. Whereas, it is very clear that men must go in jihad and protect the female. The female in Islam, respected sisters, you are an important asset to Islam and to be conceived, to be protected. It is a rule that you got jewelry, if you have got gold, then you protect it, you conceal it, you hide it, you put alarm system, and you put security. Why? You protect it, your asset. And the greatest asset for the Muslims is the female. When their chastity and their dignity is protected, then Islam will be protected. Similarly, that any congregational leadership thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the responsibility to the men. There is no jihad for the female. There is no jama'at. Meaning there is no congregational salat encouraged for the female. Why? Can you imagine now, if in a locality inside, that all the females will also go for salat or jama'at 5 times. Now, in certain local places, I think they decided to do this in Gaborone. And they said, no, we're going to have all the ladies coming. One person said that we're going to have all the ladies coming for salat for jama'at. So they had one meeting and said, okay, one person is making such a big noise. We're going to have outside the masjid in the madrasa one room specified for the ladies. First week, 20 ladies came. Next week, they were left to 5. And the third week, that person who was making a noise, his wife also retired. He said, I can't manage this. The 5 times a day to come out of my house and come for salat to jama'at. See, this is deception. Oh, you must go out and make salat to the jama'at, and you have to go to the masjid. Respected sisters, when Allah has designed the deen easy for you, then you should accept it as easy and take it as easy how Allah wants. The ayat that I recited, Ar-Rijaluna Qawwamuna Ala Nisa, the men are supervisors for the ladies. Men are guardians for the ladies. Men are well wishers for the ladies. And men are the caretakers for the ladies. So the man's responsibility is to provide financially for the ladies. The man's responsibility is to protect his wife's chastity, dignity and honor. The man's responsibility it is to be a well-wisher for his females. Therefore, we keep on stating that the man he must protect with all his means, his wife, his children, etc. Why? Because they are serving and they are rendering a service sitting at home, maintaining the laws of parda, sitting at home, protecting the chastity, sitting at home, protecting their honor. The females, respected sisters, you have got such an important role that by you maintaining the tenets of Islam, by you maintaining justice and honor, by you maintaining the role which Islam has given you, that you are able to control the menfolk, and you are able to control the activities. You are the backbone of the society. But you see, what has the Western world done? Has turned the female into a commercial agent. Has turned the female into a property of a public property. Has turned to advertise one small pack of chips, to advertise one matchbox, they put one naked lady in it, one semi-nude lady in it, destroying the morality of the woman, destroying the fiber of the woman, let alone talk about the other things. They have all these shows going on, and they have Miss Universe and Miss World and Miss So-and-so, Miss So-and-so. These are like, literally, these are like dog shows. Like, how will the people go with the agricultural shows and they have all the dogs parading and then they choose that this dog is good and that one? So, the Western world, their outcry for freedom, and in their outcry that we should liberate the woman, and in their outcry that women are equal to men, they have taken the chastity of women and destroyed it. They have taken the Izzat of the woman and destroyed it. They have taken the honor of the woman and destroyed it. They have taken the woman out of the house and turned her into a commercial property. They have taken her from secrecy and put her into the role of publicness. They have taken her out of the home and made her the property of every stranger to look at, to glare at, to stare at, and to create whims and fancies. Respected sisters, then there is another problem. That many ladies say that our hearts are very clean. Our hearts are very clean, therefore we can come out of the houses just how we want. Because our heart is clean, we know we are not going to do anything wrong. And we know that we are not going to do anything evil. We know we are very good. Our heart is pure. Our heart is clean. And we have got no evil desires in the heart. We have got no bad intention in the heart. Respected sisters, first of all, understand something. That every man out there is not a saint. That's number one. That every man that is out on the road is not a saint. And more than that, every man out there is not a Muslim. Every man out there has got different temperament. Every man out there has got different feelings, has got different expressions. And every man out there, his heart is not clean. What happens if you come out thinking that everybody out there is good and has got a clean heart? What happens if you come out and some evil man looks at you? That is why Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the hadith that if a lady, if she dresses up and she applies makeup and if she leaves the home, she is like the adulteress going away from the house. And in another hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when the lady dresses up and goes out, then the evil eye, the target of the, she becomes the target of the evil eye. Meaning that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is stating that when the lady leaves, that means she is leaving unfortunately under the banner of shaitan, and she is leaving not under the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does not mean that the lady cannot travel. Yes, she can travel. She can move around with a mihram. She can move around limitedly without a mihram. She can move around dressed properly. Dress so that no parts of the body are revealing, no contours are revealing, nothing is showing. And nowadays, unfortunately, people tell us that the ladies, some of them dress in such a way that there is nothing left of imagination. Why? Because of how they dress. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in one hadith, there will come a time when the ladies will be dressed, but in reality they will be naked. Meaning, in another hadith he explains that they will be dressed, but they will be wearing transparent clothing. Unfortunately, respected sisters, that if we have to follow the trends of the modern world, or the trends of the fashion, or if we have to develop the mentality of the kuffar nations, and if we have to fall into their prey, then we are going to destroy the moral, social fiber of any society. In retrospect, we should understand something. That Allah is the creator. And when Allah has created us, He understands what is best for us. This is the bottom line. Just like I have given you the example, the man has made the toaster or any electrical appliance. Man understands why he made the toaster, why he made the appliance, and for what he made it, and for what he did not make it. One person decides, you know, I'll take the toaster and use it as a heater in the house. What do you say about the person? The person is stupid. This person is not using the toaster properly. This person does not understand the value of the toaster. This person does not understand the function of the toaster. This person does not understand the significance of the toaster. And you begin to laugh at the person. Allah is our creator. Allah is our maker. Allah has made us. Allah understands us. When we understand this point, that Allah has made us for a certain purpose, and Allah is our maker, He understands what is good for us. And if we have to let our intelligence go loose and say, no, I understand why I have been made. I have been made to go and work in the aeroplane. I have been made as a female to go and serve in the aeroplane. I have been made to go and swim naked in the pools. I have been made to go to public park or bath. I have been made to go and advertise nakedly on Edward. I have been made to go and pose nakedly on the street front. I have been made to go and sell my body and my looks. I have been made to go and mix with people. I have been made to go and mingle with people. I have been made to go and show my features to the people. Now if a female decides, no, then I have been made for all these purposes. And we know that Islam does not want the female to go and display her finery, to go and display her body, to go and sell her body, to go and sell her modesty, to go and sell her dignity, to go and sell her honor. Islam is protecting the status of the lady. Islam is protecting the position of the lady. And how Islam is doing it? By specifying the role of the male and specifying the role of the female. And the role of the female cannot be done by the male. The role of the male cannot be done by the female. And the role of the female cannot be done by the male. If we interchange it and if we mix it up, then unfortunately we are going to be engaged in what we call wadu shay fi ghayri mahallihi. We are going to go and take what not supposed to be done, we are going to do it. Like for example, we have mentioned that jihad is not farz for the lady, jamaat and salat is not farz for the lady, jumah is not farz for the lady. So all these relaxations are for the benefit of the lady, so that they are not put into any difficulty, they are not put into any harassment. Just imagine if we had stated, or if the law had of Islam said that the lady must go for Jumah, or for Jumah, must go for Jihad, must become Khalifa, must go out to the public, must go mix with the people, invite them vigorously towards Islam, and do all the debating, etc. Then you can say clearly that no, the female is not designed for it. Biologically, they're not designed for it. Socially, they're not designed for it. Psychologically, they are not designed for it. So when our creator has decided that the female and made the life of the female easy, for example, that when the female, when she is experiencing menstruation and she misses, for example, she has menstruation for 10 days, and in that procedure she misses 6 salat per day, 5 the faraz and 1 the witr. And when it is Ramadan and she misses 10 fasts, then Allah's Sharia has made it that she will make qaza of the fast but not qaza of the salah. Why? Because the whole idea is that the Sharia is designed to make the life of the female easy. If Sharia was designed to make the life of the female difficult, then he should have said, God make the qaza of salah. The lady will be making 60 salat
Then can you imagine from the husband how cross he is going to get? Every time he comes with his lady, he will be saying, I'm making bazaar salah. Where's the food? I'm making bazaar salah. Where's the towels, etc.? I'm making bazaar salah. Every time he comes to the house, his wife is busy on the musalla. But yeah, Shariat is made it easy. That bazaar salah is marked. Yes, one fast missed, make one bazaar. Finished. So easy it is. And when the lady is fasting, then she is in more benefit. Now the husband can't take any benefit from her while she is fasting. She is now at ease and comfort also, that the husband can't take advantage over her while she is fasting. Yes, she is got freedom from the husband in that way. So Allah has designed the Sharia for the easiness of the lady, for the easiness of the female. But if the lady decides, you know, what Allah has decided, I'm not going to go for. But what the West is telling me, I'll go for that. Then what happens? The lady must go into the dens of immorality, into the dens of immodesty, into the dens where there are vultures waiting, where there are people who are evil in nature, who are bad in nature, and who are waiting for the first opportunity to capitalize on the female with his weaker sex and take advantage over them. So Allah has given us a deen which is easy. Allah has given us a deen which is perfect. And Allah has given the male some role he should identify and practice upon. Allah has given the female some role. The sisters, we should think about what we are saying, contemplate upon what we are saying, and discuss what we are saying. And do not let the men folk take advantage over you and make you slaves of the factories and the business and the premises when Allah has given you a very light role and the man is supposed to be providing for you. As recorded in the ayat, رِجَالُونَ قَوَامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ, that the man, he is the supervisor, the guardian, the well-wisher of the ladies. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to understand this, to practice this, to understand the various roles and practice upon it.